But I'm going to give it to you straight about Jason. His body was never recovered from the lake after he drowned. And if you listen to the old timers in town, they'll tell you he's still out there.
Camp Crystal Lake is jinxed.
It's got a death curse.
Hello there in Movie Land. Welcome to another exciting episode of Movie Madness. I'm your host, David Double D Dennis, and I'm joined on this spooky, not quite Friday the 13th with
Andrew. Don't kill me, Roebuck.
Can I say Mongoloid? Because I'll be a Mongoloid for this one. Because that's what they call
Mike,
Jason.
Mike the Mongoloid Dodd.
Yep. Which, nice. I always found that a really weird term for what they call him.
It's not politically correct, but it's a funny sounding word. If you forget about any meaning behind it, just saying the word Mongoloid, it just sounds funny.
Oh, God.
Politically hilarious.
It rolls off the tongue. Mongoloid.
I want to see that on the back of like a fucking hockey jersey. Just Mongoloid. I think that'd be hilarious.
Number 17, Bob Mongoloid.
No. His name is just The Mongoloid. So when his name comes up on screen, it's Mongoloid The. So anyway, how's everybody been since the last Movie Madness?
Oh, very mad and very movie.
Very mad and very movie.
We're using movie as an adjective now. Interesting.
It's true. Because that's how cool fucking we are.
Yeah.
What have you been up to, Dave?
Not much. I've just been keeping busy. We're renovating a cottage that my family bought. So that's been eating up some of my time. And job searching. That's about it.
Exciting shit. Roebuck, yeah. What about you?
Well, I don't know. I've been learning Japanese solely for the reason that I want to listen nice. To Japanese Godzilla commentaries. That's it. That's the only reason I want to learn Japanese.
I learned some Chinese when I was overseas, but I don't know. I know like maybe 3 words in Japanese.
And most of them are words for penis, aren't they?
Yeah.
See, part
of... Not gonna lie, some of it was from... things that I've watched on the internet
from adult cinema.
If you know what kimochi means,
oh god,
then you might have watched some of the same things I've watched.
I'm not even gonna ask what that means.
that's for a different episode.
If someone could write in and tell me what that means, feedback at thisweekingeek.net. I'm morbidly curious, but not enough to look it up.
I'll tell you after the show.
No, don't. I want someone to tell me what it means in the weirdest way possible, preferably with, like, stick figures. Anyway. Myself, the show came back about a week late for Nerd News. There wasn't a Nerd News this weekend because it was Valentine's Day weekend, which I didn't think about this until we actually came on the air for the show. We really should be talking about romance movies and whatnot.
Screw that.
But screw that. We got something a lot better for you this week.
We're talking about the romance between a man and his machete.
Ah, yes. We're talking in this episode of Movie Madness. This is one that I suggested to the boys. Because this past Friday was Friday the 13th, and I figured, why the hell not? So there's Sean S. Cunningham's Friday the 13th series from Paramount and New Line Cinema. This thing has been around since, I think, 1980, 81, I think. And it's a series that I very much grew up on in the 80s. In fact, I would credit this largely for making me a fan of old school horror. In fact... Two of my clearest memories from being a child for movies are seeing The Fox and the Hound and Friday the 13th Part 5. Remarkably clear. The scene that I remember the most, not from Fox and the Hound, is where the fat kid gets his head cut off and it lands into his mother's stew while he's riding the motorcycle from the fake Jason.
I remember that scene in The Fox and the Hound.
Yeah, yes! In the unrated
right
director's
after the
cut.
Hound dies, right?
Yep. Oh my god, you guys are sick fucks. but yeah, that's my super clear memory of that particular film. And I've always...
That one is so bad.
You know what? I find it gets better with age, actually. In fact, 5, if if you look at it through the lens of at least they tried something new, I don't think it's that bad, actually. And I know that's a vastly unpopular opinion. In fact, I kind of went back and I've rewatched most of these over the past week since we kind of decided this like middle of last week. I think the one I like the least are probably 2 and 3.
Whoa. Nobody talks crap about 3. 3 is the best.
Although 3 does have the distinction of getting the hockey mask.
No, 3 has the distinction of having like the most
eyeball fly at the screen and
it's like the most ridiculous overabundance of 3D ever. It's like every 5 seconds they're like, here, throwing shit at you in the screen. Ah, catch. Yo-yo.
And juggling.
Fist through a window. I mean,
this was when 3D was like a big novelty, kind of. Now it's just like,
it's just there.
Your movie kind of has to work being in 3D or in 2D because it's going to be played in both. But back then, if your movie was in 3D,
you were the shit.
You had to, you were going to throw some shit at the camera, or what's the point?
Which I can't think of very many horror movies that were actually in 3D of late. I can think of My Bloody Valentine 3D, Final
Saw
Destination.
3D, I think.
Yeah, Saw was in 3D.
Saw 7.
I guess you could count Piranha 3D Double D or whatever the fuck it was called.
Yeah.
That's all I can really think of.
Yeah, there's not really a lot.
Which horror should be a genre that really, really, really lends itself to 3D, and yet it's either used really effectively, like in the Final Destination movies. I thought it was a great use of 3D, or as Friday the 13th, I guess, because the effects were so primitive at the time. It didn't really work. I mean, although the eyeball flying at the camera is amazingly funny. Especially just that guy's
especially when you see like the wire that the eyeball is clearly floating on.
My favorite is the harpoon kill with that, because you can see the wire that the harpoon has to travel on as it flies towards the camera.
My favorite kill is when the guy is doing the handstands for no reason. Like, he's just coming back from the washroom and he's doing like handstands and then Jason's just like, oh hey, what's up? Ka-cha! And then just like cuts him right in half. And then his body gets stuffed above like his girlfriend, and his girlfriend is reading a Fangoria magazine that has Godzilla all over it, because it's a Godzilla Fangoria magazine for the 25th anniversary. I've always wanted to find that magazine.
I'm really...
Maybe someday at a garage sale or something, you'll get lucky.
I just find that so oddly specific that Roebuck knew exactly what issue. But then again, that's like me and Nintendo Power if I see it in a movie.
You'll know, like, 1981, July.
Now, speaking of that guy's girlfriend, was that the woman in the movie who was supposed... Was she the one that was killed in the hammock? I want to say yes.
No. Oh. I think she was killed like right after that. Like, I think she was chilling in the bed and she dies like right after that.
As I was watching the documentary for this, I mean, actually, there's been actually two. They were done by the same people. The same guys who did Never Sleep Again. Daniel Farrens and I think Jamie Hudson. I think that's the names. I hope I didn't screw that up. They did His Name is Jason, and they also did Crystal Lake Memories, which is also based upon a book. One thing I never picked up on, and it wasn't until they replayed the scene in the documentary that I'm like, oh shit. The one woman who dies in Friday the 13th Part 3, she dies in the hammock by getting stabbed through the chest. It turns out that character was pregnant.
Oh,
and it's Jesus. And it's just a throwaway line of dialogue. They're going down the highway in the van, and one of the other girls, the survivor girl, says something to her, and she's like, well, that's what you get for being pregnant, right? And she's like, yeah, it's just morning sickness. So that's...
Messed up.
Well, that's one of the only...
It was a double kill.
That's one of the only instances I can actually think of a pregnant woman getting killed in a horror movie, or actually in a movie, period.
The only other thing that comes immediately to mind is that Alien vs. Predator's Requiem that has that super disturbing scene in the hospital. Where the friggin' Pred Alien just alien babies into pregnant ladies. And everyone, lost their shit about that scene.
Jesus, man. Now, that's a scene I blocked right out of my fucking memory.
Yeah, I completely forgot about... The only scene from that movie I remember... The only scene from that movie I remember is where there's, the annoying, bitchy cheerleader girl, and the Predator throws his, discs at her, and it chops her in, three pieces, and then the pieces slide down onto the ground. That's, the best... That's the only reason to watch that movie, really. kill was awesome.
I remember that part. I also remember the fight on the rooftop where it never looked quite right.
Part three?
Yeah.
Oh, no, for the alien. Okay. Yeah. I was about to say.
We're getting off topic. There's a rooftop, epic rooftop fight in.
Actually,
there is in part eight. There totally is.
Part eight, that's Takes Manhattan, right?
Yeah.
Where he's on. That's one of my favorite kills in the franchise, where he's basically having a boxing match with this guy. And you swear they just need to put the Rocky theme to it. Because it's this guy who through the entire movie has been I'm the tough boxer guy. And he finally has this fight with Jason. And he's just wailing on Jason for a good minute or so, where Jason's not doing nothing, but he's just getting punched by this big black guy who just keeps pounding him and pounding him and pounding him. And then the guy is exhausted and is standing going, and then Jason just one punches him, his head flies off and goes into the trash can.
And then the trash can slams shut, which I thought was always wonderful. I mean, this series has always had a really weird sense of humor about itself, which is something I've always kind of liked about it.
Oh, it's the best.
I think that's one of the things I really like about 80s horror in general is it has that a really dark sense of humor. And when you watch it with that kind of lens, is most of the movies from 1980 to 1989 are borderline comedies. And it just makes them so much more entertaining.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's because I think they kind of realize, you're not going to take a movie seriously where a guy gets where a one killer can decapitate three people at once. Or
paintball.
Yeah, or perhaps get picked up in a sleeping bag and slammed against a tree. You're not going to take that shit seriously. So, yeah, 80s horror... It had a real sense of fun. You can definitely credit things like Freddy Krueger, especially with numbers 2 and 3, for kind of getting the humor in the series. And I think horror changed radically after that, because you never really saw the humor in, say, the Halloween series.
Yeah, the Halloween series is, I don't think there's any humorous moments.
There's maybe one-liners.
Until you get to Resurrection.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Trick or treat, motherfucker. So fucking dumb.
Anyways, I feel like almost the Friday the 13th comedy works better a bit than the Freddy comedy, because it's not really lines, it's not really funny lines, it's more just weird slapstick humor. So it all kind of depends on what you like, because almost every movie Jason gets beat up in some of the most ridiculous ways. Bringing it back to part three, there's one point where a bookshelf gets it's in a barn, and for some reason there's a bookshelf at the top of it. And, so a lady pushes over a bookshelf, and the bookshelf doesn't go, over and, hit him. It's a bunch of books. Yeah, it's a bunch of books. And, then you see a bunch of books hit Jason, and he, gets knocked out for a second. And it's what? Jason, why are you hurt by a book?
There's one scene in part 5 that I always found kind of ridiculous, and it's very, very early on in the film. There are two kills. One is this fat retarded guy, and I mean the term retarded when I say I mean mentally handicapped, and he offers this guy who clearly has rage issues a chocolate bar, and the guy's like, no, go away, and he goes back to chopping wood. And the retarded guy keeps egging him on. And it's and it's not like he's being mean. He's like, well, fine, if you're going to be like that, I'll just leave this.
Get it.
Yeah. And the guy with the rage issue says, you know what? Fuck that. Flips the fuck out and hacks this guy to pieces. And I'm like, oh my God. Because it's just so unexpected to see somebody other than Jason killing someone. So.
Sorry. That kind of ends up being the plot of that movie in general. So I think that's kind of what number five is known for.
And that's what that's the event that kickstarted the movie, because the guy who's the retarded guy was actually the son of the ambulance driver who shows up to collect the body, and it's the smart ass comment by his compatriot who's like, wow, this guy he went to pieces, or he says something really fucking stupid, and then it kind of sets him off down this path of obviously evil. the other kill that really I thought was hilarious, there are these two guys on the side of the road, and it's been alleged that these guys were gay, which I always found, I never really even thought of it like that. They just have this very couple chemistry between them. The Jason takes a road flare, shoves it in the guy's mouth, and it's just such an obvious special effect when you see this head light up and then catch on fire.
Oh yeah, the flare kill. That's a pretty good one.
So yeah, like that's just some of the weird humor you see in like some of these. I mean, obviously with like Freddy, it's more Robert Englund's delivery that really sells it.
That's true.
So I guess what was everybody's first Friday movie?
Ooh, I think my first one was it might've been part two. Cause I remember like catching a marathon once and it started, I like missed the first one. So I was watching part two, and the part that like really made me go like, wow, this series is ridiculous, is the death of the guy in the wheelchair.
I knew that was coming. I thought that one was so brutal, too.
Yeah, he like he has like a machete. He machetes him in the face, and then he goes down a set of stairs on the wheelchair. It's insane.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
And he never goes over. He the chair stays upright the entire time, which is hilarious.
Wheelchair.
It's also like really sad because like that character has done nothing. Like, that's, like, not a like one of the bad characters that you want to see get it. He's just kind of, like, a normal dude. Like,
I mean,
that he's going to have sex, but, like, other than that.
I was about to say, you could argue the implied sex, but that'd be about it, which is really unfortunate. So, Dave, what was your first Friday?
I think it was at your place, actually. You got, like, a DVD set of, I think, the first 3 or 4 of them, and that's actually all I've ever watched, even up till now, which is why I can't really comment too much, is only up till like number 4. And yeah, we watched, I think it was for the first time ever, number 3 came out actually in 3D, and it had like 2 sets of 3D glasses, but 3 of us watched it. So I think you, because you'd already seen it before, just watched it with like without the glasses, so everything was just blurry.
It was all blurry and colored odd colors.
Thanks for taking the hit.
No problem, man. I mean, this is a series, like I said, I've fallen in love with over the last fucking almost 30 years. Actually, over 30 years. But I've actually had the pleasure of seeing 3 of these movies in theaters. Surprising.
Wow. Which ones?
I saw Jason Goes to Hell.
Oh, yeah. We have to talk about that one after.
All the way back in 1993. So I was probably about 12?
I was 1.
Actually, no. I'm trying to think. I was born in 1981. Here, someone do some math. I was born in 81. I saw this movie in 93 when it came out.
So yeah, you would have been 12.
Yeah, so I saw us in theaters. Thank you to the really lax Usher staff at the Owen Sound Cinemas 3 at the time. I saw Freddy versus Jason, which was so much fun.
That one's really good too.
That was back in 2003. And then finally I saw Friday the 13th, the reboot, in 2009. Now, I actually have a small story to share with this one. Me and my best friend at the time, Pierce, took a night off from studying to go see this on a cheap night in Niagara Falls. We went to the late show because we got out of class late. We had homework to do, whatever. Either way, we went to like the 9:30, 10 o'clock show. So we go in there. There's maybe like 10 of us, maybe. So me and Pierce are sitting fairly close to the screen, you know, because we wanted to see everything. So the movie's going on and we start hearing this guy behind us and he's talking to himself. We're like, okay, that's a little weird. Okay, fine. But then he keeps going. And then Jason comes on screen. He's like, fucking get him, Jason! Kick his fucking ass! Kill him! And this goes on for over an hour and a half.
So you watched it with the commentary on.
Pretty much, yeah. And me and Pierce are just looking at each other, just killing ourselves laughing. And eventually, just halfway through, we're like, fuck it, who cares? Let's just riff track this motherfucker. And there's one point in that movie where Jason has this huge underground place where he keeps the girl he's kidnapped, which completely out of character, but whatever. And I look at Pierce, I'm like, since when did Jason become a master electrician? I can't picture him exactly going to Lowe's Home Hardware and picking up just all this wire and replacing bulbs. I can't see this.
That entire movie has like Jason becoming like an expert huntsman. Like, he's, like, setting traps. He's, like, really good at bow and arrow. He's, like, all these things where you're like, huh? What are you doing, Jason? I don't understand.
Yeah, and they basically open the movie and establish him as, you know, he saw his mom die, which is basically recapping the first movie. But they recap him as he had no life experience. All he knew was his mom. Now, it could be argued he learned some of these skills at the summer camp, but okay, you'd learn basic archery at best, and I'm pretty sure at 10 years old, they're not teaching you how to use bear traps.
So, kids, catch your first
what
bear.
Kind of camp is this?
Exactly, like, geez, it's like a militia survival camp or some shit like that.
That would be amazing.
Jason and the militia.
Like, from what it sounds like, if this movie was made, like, not as a Friday the 13th remake, but just, like, kept the same script, but had a killer who actually was really smart and knew all this stuff, it might not have been a bad movie.
Yeah, I mean, this one, they try to reinvigorate, and I think the people behind this one had a connection to Jason X. I think they were some of the writers on it, or Freddy vs. Jason. I can't remember which.
Should have been better then. I don't know. I like both of those ones. But what was I going to say? I think the only redeeming thing about that movie is topless water skiing. Other than that, there's not much.
I thought some of the kills were kind of creative. There's one where this girl, it actually relates to the topless water skiing. She, the guy who's driving the boat, who was played one of the characters from Veronica Mars.
Oh, yeah.
Dick or whatever. After that guy gets shot in the head with an arrow, she's just treading water in the lake, and she sees Jason standing on the shoreline. So she's just standing there treading water. Jason just keeps standing there. So she's like, oh, fuck, man. He's right there. What the hell am I going to do? So eventually, rather than drowning, she decides, you know what? Fuck it. I got to take a risk. I got to head towards shore. So she swims hot, and she sees Jason disappear. So she hides under this dock, and she figures she can hear him above him. Yes, she thinks he's walked away because she hears his heavy boots on the dock. And she pokes her head up. She's like, oh, finally, it's over. Jason drives his machete through the dock into her head, embeds the machete into her head, and basically pulls upward. So her head bumps against the dock with still the knife in her head. So you hear this thunk. I thought that was really creative, if somewhat fucked up. And then the movie, at the end of it, turns into almost a Supernatural episode, because Jared Padalecki, I like him. I genuinely enjoy him as an actor, but I can never see him as anything more than Dean from Gilmore Girls and Sam Winchester from Supernatural. I think that's Sam, yeah.
Oh, Oh, that's why that guy looks so familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I don't know. but yeah, I mean, now they're hoping to do a sequel, which I think comes out next year, actually.
Yeah, and I think they are like officially doing a sequel.
Year, I'm not sure.
Yeah, the guy that I think they're getting the same dude to come back. His name is Derek Mears.
Oh, yeah. He's entertaining.
I liked his Jason. In fact, that's another thing to really kind of mention about the Jason series or Friday the 13th as a whole. They've only had a consistent Jason for 7, 8, 9, and 10.
That was Kane Hodder, right?
Yep, that was Kane Hodder. And everybody else has been inconsistent. Now, technically, you could argue that Ken Kersinger, the guy that played Jason in Freddy vs. Jason, counts because he was a stunt double for Jason in number 8 as well.
Okay.
So, a little bit of trivia there for you. But yeah, it's been a different guy in everything. In fact, if you go back and watch Friday the 13th Part 6, I think there are 3 Jasons in that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so their physicality changes almost from scene to scene, which is kind of hilarious.
He gets shorter, taller, larger.
Yeah, it's kind of funny to watch that one. Although...
Oh, I've never noticed that. I like that one, too. That might ruin it for me.
6 is actually one of my favorites because of the dark humor, as we had previously mentioned. The guy who did that one was the director named Tom McLaughlin, and he actually does a lot of comedy, surprisingly. And he did a few episodes of Masters of Horror, which was an anthology series put out by Showtime. Was it? No, Showtime or Stars or something like that.
No, I think it was Showtime.
I thought it was Stars, but
maybe it might have been. But I think I might have watched it on Showtime at least.
But yeah, and he'd done a few episodes, and he has a very unique direction to the way he does things, but they're almost always really entertaining. And that one is where Jason sort of picks up the more supernatural abilities, which the series, I think the series really gets its real identity. And this is what I think personally after number 6, because then he becomes the super zombie.
I think number 7 is actually my favorite. Like I think it's number 7 and then number 3 are my 2 favorites.
For me, 6 and 7 of the originals are definitely my favorite. And then of the newer stuff, I'd say Freddy versus Jason, because I've been waiting to see that fight since like the 80s.
I like Jason Goes to Hell because it's ridiculous.
It's got some interesting moments in it. And get this,
go ahead.
I was going to say, the guy who did that one, his name is Jeff Katz, I think. He got that movie fresh out of film school. He was 23 when he did that movie.
That's pretty impressive. Because that movie, for all the crap that movie gets, it's actually pretty well done. It's just got like a really weird plot to it, which is why a lot of people don't like it. Because it goes for a more mystical route of Jason, and people don't like that view as much. But if you can accept that viewpoint, it's actually pretty good. And I think, what was I going to say? A lot of the interestingly enough, there's a lot of props in that movie that are actually from Evil Dead 2.
Yeah, like, there's the Necronomicon, the knife from it, I think.
The knife, yeah. And it's just like all these like weird little connections in that movie. And then Jason X is amazing as well.
Jason, and it's weird, for Jason X, that's the movie which is affectionately known, Jason Goes to Space. Which is where horror movies go to die, such as Hellraiser and Leprechaun.
Oh, God. Don't bring up that Hellraiser.
I didn't realize that they made a Hellraiser movie in space.
Yep, Hellraiser Bloodlines, I think, is what it was called.
It's Hellraiser that is in the the early, like, 1800s and in space and, like, a half hour in modern times. It's horrible.
Yeah.
And Adam Scott is in it. So it's kind of amazing, Marvel. Yeah,
must have been in what, like the late 90s? Or?
Yeah, like he plays the villain in the 1800s, and it's so funny.
Oh my gosh.
We're going to have to talk about Clive Barker and the Hellraiser series at some point, either for Twig's topic show or maybe one of these at some point.
For sure.
So going back to Jason X, that's a movie that is brutal yet kind of self-aware about itself, because it realizes, okay, we're in space, the final frontier of stupid. And they try and hit all the right notes for a future movie. You've got high-tech computers, holograms.
Robot Jason.
You've got that chick KM14 who's like this android chick with boobs who fights.
Her boobs keep, like, she has nipples that keep falling off. Like, that's the joke. Like, they can't get the nipples to stick.
And he's like, why do you want boobs? Well, other people have them, and I want them too. I think the actress's name is Lisa Ryder, and she starred on another sci-fi series after this with Lexa Doig, who plays Roan in the movie, the main heroine. They starred on Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda. After this, this was sort of their huge audition tape, I guess.
Well, I think you did very good getting your face smashed in after putting it in cryogenics. You're hired.
Weird thing about that scene, they actually did a Mythbusters episode on that. And
really?
Yeah, they did a
Mythbusters. I think Mythbusters ran out of ideas at that point.
They hired an intern for one episode, didn't tell him why.
Put your face inside of this jar. Why?
Just trust me. You're getting paid, aren't you? And evidently that myth was busted. Like it wouldn't happen.
Well, they didn't use space.
Space cryogenics.
Yeah, or whatever. Space cryogenics. Gone, Mythbusters. Get with the times.
But this was a movie that actually sat on the shelf for 2 years. Like, they had it.
They made it and then didn't release it for 2 years?
Yeah, or? They made it and it just sat on the shelf for 2 years. Now, a work print did release. It got leaked about a half a year before it was supposed to come out, maybe a little bit earlier. I downloaded this, and it was and this is the early days of internet shittio. Like, I'm talking, like, real player quality here. It was...
Like YouTube on the lowest possible setting.
Yeah, and it was, like, a postage stamp wide. It was ridiculous. But, yeah, New Line Cinemas just didn't believe in it, and they wanted to do something before Freddy versus Jason, because they were still getting all the legal bullshit sorted out from that. So they're like, well, we could do another Friday. But they just didn't want to do anything, because I think people who were in charge at the studio level had either changed hands or something had happened. And the movie just got like, oh, we'll just keep pushing it back. And it just never eventually it came out. It didn't do as well as they wanted it to, which is unfortunate, because that movie's a lot of fun. I thought.
I feel like some like executive was just like hammered off his mind and then just like saw it and was like, we have to put this to theaters. We have to go now.
Well, it's like, look at the horror movies that had come out before that, because everybody wanted this self-aware referential horror, like stuff that had come out like Scream, or it was all Japanese remakes of like The Ring.
The Grudge and The Ring and, yeah.
And all that stuff. So, horror...
And then there's Jason in space. Like, that doesn't even, like...
Exactly. It's just so...
Which is probably why it didn't do too well at the box office. Like, people have come to, at this point, or even back in 2000... When was this? 2003? Or...
I think 2000 and, I think, 1 or 2002. Something like
even
that.
Even back then, like, it wasn't the kind of horror people were expecting. Like, that kind of horror movie was getting phased out all through the 90s.
Yeah, it's true.
It's too bad, because they've kind of tried to bring it back with stuff like Hatchet, which is pretty good, but...
Hatchet's probably about the...
Really...
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say...
It's never really gained the popularity.
Like, Hatchet's probably about the closest you'll get the true old school horror from the 1980s, and that's because of its heavy reliance on practical special effects.
Yeah, it's true. I think the only other movies doing that nowadays, like, they do exist, but they're all like
direct-to-video.
Yeah, direct-to-video, and still not bad. Like, there are still some good ones out there. They're just like lots of them, and they don't get released in theaters anymore.
Yeah, I mean, one group or one company that I will, full disclosure, have worked for is Full Moon Entertainment. That's Charles Band, and they do a lot of that low-rent sci-fi and horror movies, and they're usually very, very, very cool.
Are those the Puppet Master guys?
Yes.
And the Ginger Dead Man guys?
Yep. Yeah.
Passion of the Crust.
Oh, my God. Although, my favorite series from them is a series called Trancers. Check out the first three. They are fucking awesome.
Oh, I think I've seen that, like, it was on Netflix for the longest time, and I always passed by it thinking it was something else.
It's real. I think it was one of Helen Hunt's first movies, and you see her boobs, and they are totally worth it. I'm just saying. I never thought I'd say that about Helen Hunt, of all people.
Typing this up now.
Although, not like she's not attractive. Not like she's not attractive. You know what? Okay, since I'm already talking about boobs, that's something else the Friday the 13th is known for. Boobs.
Blooded boobs.
And it's funny, as we were shit-talking number five, actually has some of the most nudity in it. And during the document...
Featuring the naked retarded guy?
Yes. Yes. They actually do mention during the documentary, every person who was cast in that movie, including there were, I think, a former Playboy model, the one who gets the garden shears in the eyes. Everybody who was cast in that movie who was a woman was based on the size of their boobs. Which I think is kind of hilarious.
That's, I could just imagine the casting room.
I know, right? Like, how big are your boobs?
The girl gives, like, an awesome performance. They're like, okay, what's your cup size?
B?
Like a B?
Nope.
Get the hell out of this room.
But I won an Oscar. Don't give a fuck. Like, yeah, it's just, although, I'm trying to think of another one that had a lot of nudity. Number four had a little bit. Yeah, there was the twins and then the girl in the shower. Number two, there was the two people in the bed. I'm thinking five, yeah, like I just mentioned. Four, yeah, six had some, not a whole hell of a lot. The most memorable bit of nudity I remember, only because it was tied to a kill, was Jason Goes to Hell. And this is my favorite kill of the entire series. There are these two people in a tent. They're having sex. She's on top of him. Jason takes a road sign, impales her through the stomach, and splits her in half up to the shoulder. So she literally peels like a banana. And it's one of the most brutal scenes I've ever seen put to film. And in fact, I think they actually had to trim it down for the release of the movie, surprisingly. Which, for all the violence these movies have, the censors take a hacksaw to them. Like, number seven, yeah, especially is really cut down.
Back in the 80s, you were still in, like, there's still, like, the threat of getting an X rating thrown on your movie if you didn't cut it back properly. And the MPAA was a lot more strict with movies back then than they are now.
Well, that...
Like, now your movie has to be, like, borderline porn in order to get an NC-17, but back then it was like, nope, too much blood.
And it's weird because at that time, too, which is really funny because nowadays we have the internet and starting internet advocacy or raising awareness. It's a relatively, I'd say, easy thing to do with Twitter, Facebook, and, you know, websites or whatever. Back in the day, it was all letter writing campaigns and negative stuff on TV and in newspapers. And a lot of, I think there are Christian groups or something like that used to really rally against the Friday the 13th movies. I know Siskel and Ebert hated them.
Yeah, I feel like in the age of the internet, it's a lot easier to ignore an online petition than it is to ignore a boatload of mail that keeps coming at you continuously. It's like, please stop, no more mail. Ah, you can kill somebody with
true,
mail.
True, yeah.
That would be
interestingly great, enough, one of the more interesting things I've seen lately is at the TIFF Bell Lightbox, I don't think it's on anymore, but they had a Stanley Kubrick, like,
exhibit.
Exhibit. And one of the things was actually a letter that some like Christian parents advocacy group had written to Kubrick about, I think it was Lolita, like saying, please don't release this movie in theaters. It's offensive, blah, blah, blah. And Kubrick actually wrote like the nicest letter I've ever seen in my life, like back to this guy. Like, I'm really sorry if it offended you. Like, I always thought of him as being this like kind of like an angry caveman. And
because of his beard?
Yeah, mostly.
Well, and he like treated Shelley Duvall like terribly on the set of The Shining.
Well, it's because she's no. but
Popeye's gonna get you. Watch your mouth.
Kubrick back from the grave. Although I think once Friday the 13th's success had really kind of gone out there, and I mean, since Halloween had kind of started the slasher genre, and Friday the 13th, I think, really popularized it, there were so many knockoffs in the 80s, which I think, like Dave said, it was a better time for horror, because you could have this really weird sense of humor, you could be really dark and fucked up about it. I remember, I'm trying to think of some of the really cheesy 80s horror movies. I remember, I think there was one called Slumber Party Massacre, where a guy killed women with a drill, which is really stupid.
That was Sorority House Massacre, Sorority I believe.
Thank you, Cinema Snob. I prefer. I'm trying to think of other ones. I remember more themed ones. I remember there was New Year's Evil was another one. I think the second one actually starred Lance Hendrickson, if I'm not mistaken.
There was a sequel to New Year's Evil?
Or no, sorry. I'm thinking of 976 Evil, which was...
Oh, okay. Because I was about to say, New Year's Evil is amazingly awful, but it's still pretty good. Oh, and you are right. It is Slumber Party Massacre. I was actually wrong.
Yeah, there's just... It's really fucked up. I remember Prom Night, though that was not so much... Oh,
no.
That was more of a thriller.
Yeah, that one was more of its own thing. Like, it kind of, like...
Though the sequels are arguably fucking weird.
Yeah, isn't there, like, four sequels?
There's four sequels, and one of them is actually...
I've never seen those.
You
ones.
Kind of feel bad for the lead character. The one character, if I remember this right, comes back as a ghost. her name is Mary Lou. She's the bad guy of the Prom Night movies. And in the fourth one, if I'm not mistaken, I think she becomes really sympathetic, even though she's killing people. And I'm just thinking, you realize this horror movie, if this woman, okay, she's clearly insane, but you could probably talk her down a little bit in some capacity. I'm thinking a little compassion would go an awful long way. Then again, if someone had shown Jason compassion, he would still be alive, probably. Because obviously the kids that bullied him and pushed him in the fucking lake and drowned his ass.
As kids do.
Exactly, as kids do.
Well, that's just kids being kids.
Let's go down to the watering hole and drown the ugly kid.
Well, actually, okay, there's kind of something here, which I think a lot of people don't necessarily think about. You look at the Friday the 13th movies, and a lot of people have called them a morality tale. If you commit certain... Basically, if you do the seven deadly sins, you're fucking toast.
Man, it's basically like... I don't know why those Christian advocacy groups were so upset, because it's basically like, follow the Bible, or yeah. Jesus sends down a demon and kills you. Like, if they just like rephrased it a little bit, like, you could totally sell it as like a religious...
They would be showing these in like youth groups and stuff. Come to our Bible study. We're watching Friday the 13th, part 7.
Dave, I would come to your Bible study group if they watched horror movies every week. I promise.
All Jason needed to be was wearing a robe, and it would have been fine.
But yeah, like, it's just because obviously if you do these things, bad things will happen to you, and usually the young, virtuous virgin survives, though not always.
There are some twists, but it's usually, like... In the later ones, is it not? Like, in the early ones, it's pretty set in stone.
Yeah, exactly. There's, like, here's the formula, here's how it goes.
Well, I think what happened was they kind of set the formula, and then once people realized what the formula was, then they were able to, like, yeah, like, play around with it or make parodies of it. Or that really goes with any genre, though. Like, you made me think of what Andrew just said. It made me think of, in Hackslash, there's like a character called Father Wrath. It's basically exactly what you described. He's like a priest that goes around and kills anyone that commits sins.
Jesus Christ. literally. Say, where was I going with this? I had... Oh, right. another thing is, you look at the circumstances that created Jason. This is something that didn't necessarily need to have happened. Obviously, he was bullied. And his mother being very, very devoted to him is not necessarily a bad thing. Was Jason a mama's boy? Arguably, yes. But considering his circumstances of his birth and his life, you know, that's, it is what it is. And in Freddy vs. Jason, the character, I can't remember her name, the lead character, the girl, what's her name?
From which one?
From Freddy vs. Jason.
Oh.
Monica? Or is that the name of the actress? I don't know.
Might have been Monica.
Yeah, so either way, the actress goes into Jason's dream to save him. And about to say, I wonder how these movies would have played out had someone stood up for Jason. Would bad things have still happened? Sort of thing. I mean, if he still died, but if someone had stood up to him, would Jason have killed him? So to speak, because Jason doesn't often spare people. It has happened a few times, though. Because in Friday the 13th, Part 6, for example, you think he's going to kill those kids at the camp. Like, now, I'm not talking about the counselors, but he stops.
Yeah, that's right.
And he doesn't often kill adults, only when they get in his way does he ever kill them. Usually...
Well... There's sometimes in, like, the early ones where he'll just, like, run across a bunch of adults and kill them for, like, seemingly no reason. Like, I remember in Part 3, there's, like, these adults that have, like, this convenience store, and they just kind of get killed for no reason.
Oh, okay, okay.
Because they overcharged him for a chocolate bar one afternoon.
Improper inventory. Thus stealing.
$2.25 for an O. Henry? Screw you!
And thus the end of them. I don't know. I mean, I've always kind of thought about, like, this could be a thing about bullying as well. Considering how big a thing that is nowadays with, like, cyberbullying, and people get bullied to death virtually. In fact, I'm actually really surprised no one has taken a real life example of this and somehow fictionalized it. And I don't mean to trivialize this person's death, but up here in Canada, there was a young girl named Retea Parsons from out east here in Halifax, I think, who killed herself, unfortunately, after people cyberbullied her to death. Someone had leaked pictures of her online. Something happened at a party. Bad things obviously happened, and she took her own life. I'm kind of surprised no one has taken the idea of that and turned it into, like, a horror movie, maybe make her, like, a vengeance demon or something.
Yeah.
Just kind of spitballing.
Yeah, especially because it's such a relevant thing these days. And that's kind of what the 80s did. Like, whatever was the issue, the big hot button issue of, like, 1985 or whatever, they would take it and make, like, a cautionary tale sort of horror movie about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, even in some of these movies themselves, I remember rock and roll is portrayed as a bad thing. I can think of three instances where musicians die, actually. Yeah,
it's weird. I don't know why Jason just doesn't like loud music, but he's kind of like an old grandpa, too. He's like, your music is too loud. You must die.
But, like, ultimately, I'm really glad these movies happened, although I don't think you could get away with them in the same sense today. Which is kind of unfortunate.
No, you did not enough jump scares.
Well, that and, like, I don't think people would go for, like, the...
Just the violence? The
darkish humor. Like, it is pretty dark. And people are a lot more liberal about sex nowadays, so they'd be like, screw you, Jason, stop killing all people having sex. I want to have sex. Don't kill me, because I want to have sex.
Well, here's the thing. What would a modern Jason movie look like? Because even from 2009 to now, it would look different.
he would most likely have like a scarf on of some sort, drinking
hipster
like
Jason.
a mocha Jason. Latte.
A designer machete.
He would get mad at people on the internet and like just rage.
Yeah, he just kills people he gets offended by.
So Jason is 4chan, is what you're telling
Jason
me.
Yeah, Jason is just 4chan. The modern day Jason, the living embodiment of 4chan.
Spawned from Reddit, driven by 4chan, he is Jason Voorhees.
Fueled by Gamergate.
And Mountain Dew.
Code Red Mountain Dew.
Oh!
That's all he ever drinks.
Awesome tie-in right there for the promotional products. Get the collector's cup at 7-Eleven.
You're not ethical. You must die.
Although, realistically, though, I would like to see a modern Jason. I don't know what it would look like. Now, in the last couple years, I have seen a few good horror movies, but they're more psychological. They're not so much jump scary. They rely more on atmosphere, and Jason is not about atmosphere. It's about brutality, special effects. They're meant to be popcorn flicks.
I feel like Jason himself can still, like, his character is relatively simple, so, like, he could still work in a modern-day movie. It'd just be the people around him that would be different, I think.
Like, I'd like to see the guys who did The Conjuring take a shot at it.
Oh.
Because they did awesome atmosphere.
That's true. They did do awesome.
But then Jason would be like walking through walls and jumping off of people's dressers.
He already does that, but he just leaves a hole.
The
Conjuring, they just jump off and then they're like, and they run out of the room. They wouldn't be running out of the room if Jason jumped on them.
Now, one thing I think that could happen, especially in this era of Kickstarters, because we've seen successes with, like, Veronica Mars and whatnot. If you put a Kickstarter out that says Freddy versus Jason versus Pinhead versus Ash, they need a budget of $25 million, that movie would be funded in less than 3 days.
They would need a lot more money than $25
million. Well, I'm saying, to be real, it would be a labor of love.
Well, yeah, if it was, you could probably do that low budget.
Because Veronica Mars was only $4 million.
Yeah, but Veronica Mars doesn't have to have extensive makeup effects.
But Veronica Mars relied more on actors. I'm saying for $25 million, you get a bunch of nobodies. You bring back Kane Hodder because he would do it for next to nothing. Robert Englund would probably put on the makeup one more time. And Bruce Campbell, I think, would probably do it. And Douglas Bradley, who still plays Pinhead. Honestly,
well, Bruce Campbell's already coming back in Ash versus the Evil Dead, so
yeah. So why not cross it over and even adapt that series of comic books that came out in the mid 2000s?
Those comic books are pretty amazing.
Yeah. So I wonder if they will ever do another Versus movie. Although realistically, the one we got, I'm pretty satisfied with. I would like to see more. Or more Versus movies. Like, I would love to see Chucky thrown into a mix, or
just have one with everyone, just like the slasher brawl of the century, and it's like 3 hours long, and it's just like every slasher ever.
It's like, they could do something like Battle Royale, but it's just slasher villains. Like, all slasher villains.
They some super rich genius, like, captures them all, puts them on, like, Isla Nublar or something.
Yes, in Jurassic Park.
So there's also dinosaurs.
They're just cutting dinosaurs in half.
And the Terminator. Let's throw him in there too.
And it's just like, only one of you can be alive after 24 hours or I blow you all up.
Or maybe have Satan take him over. Maybe, I don't know. Well,
Satan brings them down to hell, and they all have to fight each other, and the one who survives gets to, like, leave hell, and all the rest stay in eternal torment.
Well, that was the plot for Freddy versus Jason for a long-ass time.
Really?
Yeah, to have...
Oh, yeah, because Jason Goes to Hell ends like that, right?
Yeah, like, they were gonna have Satan Satan say to Jason and Freddy, okay, you're both going to be sent back to Earth. You have 1 week. Whoever reaps me the most souls gets to stay. The loser comes back with me. And that's what it was going to be. And eventually there was a character named Dominic Necros, who is the leader of some Freddy cult called the Fredheads or something.
See, I think Freddy would go, oh, I better go do that. And Jason would be like,
as long as he's dropped in Crystal Lake, he'll be fine. Don't worry. They'll come to him.
Because there's always a fresh supply of people going there for whatever reason.
And
Jason will just win by accident and won't even understand. He'll just like...
Well, actually, you know what, Dave? You actually just kind of hit an interesting nail right there on the head. In this interesting...
There's constantly people going to Crystal Lake. And
well, think about
it. Why is it such a popular tourist destination?
Well, think about it. Think about putting survivors there. Like, if... Let's say Crystal Lake was somehow cordoned off by the fucking military or something, right? And what if they said, okay, you want to go out in the Crystal Lake for the ultimate survivor experience? If you manage to kill them and bring them back, here's $25 million. So Jason would always have a constant fresh supply of people.
And they do it like a reality show?
Yeah, and I think there was a comic book.
So it's like Survivor, Crystal Lake.
Well, I think they did a comic book like this. In fact, I'm almost 99% certain of it. But think how many people would actually do that. People who would go for the thrill of the hunt to see if they would survive. And you know people would do this.
You want to know who would not do that? This guy. Keep me away from Crystal Lake.
But say,
yeah, but I would watch it on TV.
I take the Ellen Ripley response. Nuke the site from orbit just to be sure.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not going into Camp Crystal Lake. I mean, even if I have powered battle armor, even then, I'm sure he'll find a way. No, even if I have a Titan from Titanfall, fuck that noise. That a Gundam.
A Gundam. Jason just destroying a Gundam. Like, yeah, he just like uppercuts a Gundam.
Or he throws his machete in that one spot, blows the gas tank, and boom, ruptures the cooling tanks.
Jason, it was Evangelion. Jason.
It was actually Jason that blew up the Death Star. He was standing in the trench, threw his machete right into that hole.
Han just fired.
And somehow survived by floating off space.
Oh, space Crystal Lake. Which they actually do that in a series of books that picks up after Jason X, if you can believe that. So I guess we've kind of come to the end of this. I mean, Friday the 13th, it's a fun series. It really is. I think if you're going to watch these movies, you should obviously start with the first one. I would recommend 4, 6, 7, and Freddy vs. Jason if I was going to recommend any of them.
Yeah, I could add 3 into there, and then I would agree.
And Dave, you've only seen the first couple, but...
Yeah, I need to watch the rest of these.
Like,
at some point.
Slasher movies and 80s horror is some of the best fun you can have because you don't have to take it seriously. There isn't that hidden meaning like there is in a lot of movies. Obviously, there's that whole don't do X or you'll die thing. That's really about as deep as they fucking get. But you get to see very early people's careers start here. You see Kevin Bacon. You see Crispin Glover. Let me see. You see other people you've seen from TV like Stephen Williams. As I mentioned, Lexa Doig and Lisa Ryder. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. Oh, David Cronenberg has a cameo in Jason X. He's
really?
He's the military general.
Yeah, who gets like killed early on.
And that's the only reason he did the movie. He's like, okay, I'll be in your movie, but you get to kill me. And he's like, all right. So yeah, I mean, obviously check these out. Jason X is retarded, but it's fun. In a very, very weird way. All these movies are ultra violent. In fact, I don't recommend doing the Friday the 13th drinking game because you will die. very, very quickly, you'll be very, very drunk. But anyway, so next time on the show, I think you guys are going to do your pre-Oscar show for the best of 2014.
Yeah.
Talking about our top 5-ish movies of 2014. I almost forgot what year it was for a minute.
I will not be joining these guys on that one, as I actually only went to the movies a few times last year. So 2014 for me was actually kind of bleh. But this year I intend to be going a lot more because there's a lot more superhero movies. In fact, you could probably even make an argument for that. I only really go for the really big tentpole things. I don't see a lot of the smaller stuff unless it's something really, really interesting to me. But anyway, so I guess for Movie Madness, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd.
Andrew. I've been David. I've been Andrew. No, I've been David Double D Dennis, and you've been
Andrew. Talks out of his place, Roebuck.
We'll catch you guys next time. You're with your baby and your partner.